This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, oketa to our Papua New Guinea audience and welcome everyone to Neat and Footy, the best spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union world. My name's Tinirau Aruna, and alongside me each week is my kawi, Sammy White. Sammy.
Big T, it's good to see you survive the magic rounds. Good to have you back, mate. We missed you on Friday.
You sound more rough than me, mate.
I am a bit rough at the moment. I'm on the back end of a bit of a flu and a cold caught it in Fiji, but still managed to get over there. And, hey, what a round it was in Super Rugby. I'll tell you what, you'd hate to be a wheelie bin, a plastic bottle, a plastic chair over in the Pacific, because those things copped a hiding with Moana and the Drua winning the double for the second time this year. Obviously, we'll cover NRL Magic Round, where you were there for that one.
One of the big events in rugby league.
Huge. It looked amazing. And Wallaroos, yeah, they played in Fiji as well. And we have one of the stars, Fijian number 8. Tambua Tui Nakavandra. So we'll have her on as our guest to go through that.
Sammy, she also represented the Melbourne Rebels and the Brumbies. And then how many times has she played for Australia now?
I believe it's 11. I know she's Wallaroo number 200. And I think what we will dive into as well, there was a moment, a bit of a line in the sand moment for her. I think they tried to convince her to play prop just to see that that's where you'll have more longevity. But she said, no, there's no way I'm heading into the front row. And I don't blame her at all. So she ended up staying at number 8, and she was one of the stars in that test match on the weekend.
Moment of the week.
Well, we can't go past the magic round that happened in Brisbane. I was very grateful and fortunate to be a part of the weekend. And I arrived on Thursday to just in time to watch the women's State of Origin and watch our female athletes absolutely put on a show up the
Blues.
And
arrived for work, yeah? It was for work reasons, not just as a...
Thursday night wasn't for work. That was a past players event held by the RLPA, which I got to be a part of, but then work came Friday, Saturday and Sunday. But to kick off the magic round, you have the women's game. I heard over 2 million viewers across the world tuned in to watch that game, which is huge.
Wow.
for our female athletes, for our female players. And then you go on to the next day where you've got the Magic Round kickoff, 2 games, then 3 games on the Saturday and another 3 games on Sunday. I think I'll start with the Brisbane as a whole. I just think it's a amazing atmosphere. If you're a rugby league fan, that's where you want to be on a weekend, where you get to watch all the teams play bar one. Manly Sea Eagles missed out. You've got fans from across Australia, from New Zealand. Huge shout out to all those Warriors fans that turned up. Seems like they were everywhere. Jerseys across the city. And then the event. You go to the stadium, they've got fireworks, smoke machines. They've got fan engagements with, asking fans to come and race their digital players on the sidelines. And then you've also got the shooting T-shirts up into the crowd, even the light show that they put on. Just think, it's a great event. And I think well done to the NRL for putting on such a good experience for all rugby league fans.
You've been to Vegas now and you got to experience that with all those games, and they were saying that might be too many. Maybe the fans got disinterested, but also just the vibe in itself, the week of Vegas. So how do you compare Magic Round with all the games, but also all the off-field stuff that was happening as well?
Yeah, I think with Magic Round, you got 3 days that them fans can go and really settle in. You know what you're going to expect. Whereas when you go to Vegas, anything happens in Vegas leading into the game. And you've also just got the 4 days on the one, 4 games on the one day. What I noticed was a few fans on the Saturday morning, when I walk through town grabbing some breakfast, you see the fans with some dusty heads, but they know that they have to rehydrate, kick on again for the rest of Saturday and also Sunday the next day. It did rain a bit on the Saturday and Sunday, which was wasn't great. I was running in and outside of the stadium every time I could get the chance, but I think they're 2 different experiences.
Okay, cool.
But I do love that Rugby League put on this event for our fans.
Hi, I'm Robert Derby from North Queensland Cowboys, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
And then we go to the main event, the product, the players, the teams, the game that they put on. They just put on an amazing show. Now, I can't pick just one or two teams to talk about throughout the weekend, because I think when you look at all eight games, they were all entertaining, and it would be rude of me to pick one or two. So I've got my four moments that I noticed over the weekend, and I'll start with the Warriors versus Cowboys. Again, huge shout out to those Warriors fans that turned up, because it seems like they just turned up in numbers. They were going crazy. It was good to see, you know, off the back of the Warriors' performance, that they turned up. And that first half, a very, very dominant performance from the Warriors, where they scored five tries. And one of those five tries was Samoan Chanel Harris-Tavita in the 22nd minute, pouring down rain, puts a little grubber in. It pops up. He's chasing himself. So he jumps up in the air and then comes down and scores a try for the Warriors.
Perdue is in there with McIntyre. Comes away, Harris to beat a little stab kick. Didn't get there first. Ball bounces back, Harris to beat her. Spins over and scores the try. That'll be a try for the Warriors, I believe. Referee G says yes. Ricochet rabbit. Harris to beat her with Johnny on the spot.
So 28-12, halftime. The Cowboys start making a comeback in the second half. We had a try to PNG winger Robert Darby, and we've also got two tries for the Samoans, Murray Taulangi and Jeremiah Nenai. Just missed out. Warriors come away with the win, 30-26. Now, in the next game right after that was the Tigers versus the Dragons. Now, there were some big moments in this game.
Were there some heartbreaks, like, you know, for the Dragons in this one as well?
I'll get to that point.
Because I chose the Dragons. That's why I thought they were going to get this one.
A huge moment. And I bet you their coach, Shane Flanagan, would not be happy reviewing that game today. But let me get to a few of the Pacifica try scorers in this game. For the Tigers, we've got Tor Samoan representative Charlie Staines. He scored a double. One where Jerome Loy got it out the back, passed to Lachlan Galvin. Lachlan Galvin catching pass to Charlie to score in the corner. Back rower Tongan Samuela Fainu, he also scored a try off a Jerome Luai grubber kick. Is that your phone, Sammy?
Sorry, that's my fault. Are you okay? It beeped.
Well, you can say sorry to the great Samuela Fainu, but he scored a try just jumping on a grubber kick from Jerome Luai. And then you got the Fijians, Sunia Turuva and Jareem Buller, who also scored. I'll get to Jerome's try shortly, but the Dragons, Cook Islander Valentine Holmes, he made a 50-meter break, breaking three Tigers defenders to score a try. He also kicked four goals for the Dragons. Moses Sully was also strong, making eight tackle breaks in this game. But the moment of this game was, so the Dragons were down 20-10, 30 seconds before halftime. They go down to the left. They're attacking the try line. Offload goes back to the right. Long ball to Jaden Sua, and he has a three-man overlap. And all he has to do is just run, hold the ball, put the ball down. They go into halftime only behind by four. As Jaden Sua dives, the knee kicks the ball out. Jareem Buller.
His own knee.
His own knee. So no one around him. He goes to dive, puts the ball down. His own knee kicks it. And then Jareem Buller picks up the ball in his in the in goals, and he runs 100 metres to the other end.
Egan just kept the lie back to Flanagan on the 10. 20-metre pass to the right. Overlap. Gula through the hands. Gives it to Sua. And Sua goes into the in goal. I think he dropped the ball and trying to ground it. It's picked up by the Tigers. Off goes Buller. 50 to go. 30 to go.
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary, a bombed try at one end has been run the length by Jareem Buller, and that is the most magic of moments in Magic Round for the Tigers. But how did the Dragons stuff that up?
So they call it a 12-point turnaround because he didn't get the 6 points for scoring. And then Jerome goes and scores on the other end. So instead of going into the break 20-16, they then go into halftime 26-10. And the full-time score here, Tigers win 34-28, only by 6 points. So Shane Flanagan,
Poor Sua, man. I feel for you, cuz. You didn't mean to do that, but chin up, son. He'll be right for next week.
And on Sunday, mate, some amazing games. And this one, it's hard to say it's an upset, but it is an upset by the way that they've been playing. You've got the Penrith Panthers putting on a huge performance against one of the competition favourites, Brisbane Broncos. Keep in mind the Broncos just beat Canterbury Bulldogs last week, I think it was.
They put a clinic on them last week.
Now, huge shout out to the young Laurent Patea. He is a St. Clair Comets junior. In his fifth NRL game, he scores his first try, and he was solid coming off the bench.
Now Summerton, back on the inside to Laurent Patea. He managed to get through the first tackle attempt, that being from Piakura. Gets very close. He may have got that down for a try. He has! Oh, he's big, he's impressive. Laurent Patea, he scores for Penrith after the Nathan Cleary 40-20.
Isaac Tungo also scored for the Panthers, and Nathan Cleary, remember, 2023 grand final against the Broncos. He goes down that left side, comes off his left, and then scores underneath the post. Exact same thing happened in this game against the same
team. Three Broncos over-tracking again.
That's it. So Panthers win 32-8. You'd think that would be the game of that day, but the Raiders versus Storm, and I'll finish on this game, where it went all the way down to Golden Point. Look, I just think the Raiders come out with a aggressive mindset. They weren't going to get pushed around from the Storm. Although Samoan winger, Sua Faalongo, he was unreal for the Storm. He, in all three of the Storm's tries, he had a play, he had a hand in each try. So the first one, 60-meter break, gets tackled short. They score the next play. The second one, he makes a break down the sideline, looks inside. He sees Ryan Papenhuyzen coming through the middle of the field, puts one of those AFL kicks right back to the middle. Yes. Papenhuyzen regathers, scores, and then he scores his own try, just receiving an offload with the old Superman dive. So Sua Faalongo, huge game, but it just wasn't enough, where the Raiders, they score three tries of their own in the second half, by Savelio Tamali, Matthew Timico, and K.O. Weeks, who his try was the pivotal moment that took it to Golden Point.
Starling goes right to Fogarty. Short ball to Nick Nichols. And back on the inside to Weeks. He's to the 40. Kicks over the top of Pappenhausen. Weeks for the 40. Picks it up. Scores. Brilliant K.O. Weeks. There was nothing bubbling. But K.O. Weeks says, I can do this on my own. Chip and chase past Papenhuyzen. A great regather considering the conditions. 1 minute 53 to go.
The Raiders are now sitting second.
Second day.
Second on the ladder. And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. In the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters beat Wynnum Manly Seagulls in Port Moresby 30-12. Brendan Nima scored a hat-trick and Solo Wayne had a double. So the wingers had a massive day for the PNG Hunters. After leading 8-6 at halftime, it was five tries in the second half for the Hunters to take the win and move up to third place on the ladder. This sets up a big one this week in Brisbane for the Hunters as they play the top of the table North Devils. And in New South Wales, Josie Flegg, Manly were just too strong for the Cavite Silk Tails in Sydney, beating them 24-4. Michele Sinabua, he was the only try scorer for Cavite, and they play Rabbitohs in Redfern, who are below them on the ladder this weekend. Speaking of the Cavite Silk Tails, also ran into the great Petro Sivonadiva. And we spoke about the Cavite Silk Tails and
happy with the wins, happy this year, not last year.
He mentioned straight away, he goes, we got a couple wins this week, this year. I go, I know, mate, we've been keeping a close eye on the Cavite Silk Tails, and, yeah, he's very proud of how they're going at the moment.
Beautiful work, T. Outstanding. It's good to have you back after a fairly big weekend over in Magic Grounds. So that's all you have for us, rugby league?
For now, yeah.
For now. All right, let's go over to rugby union. And honestly, round 12 of Super Rugby Pacific, it was honestly unbelievable for our Pacific Island teams with both Moana Pacifica and the Fijian Drua snatching victories at the very end of their games. And we'll start with the Fijian Drua, and they really turned things around against the Reds in Suva, winning on the bell 36 points to 33. And to be honest, I actually had a good feeling about the Drua after I saw how they arrived at the stadium and got off the bus. First time I've ever seen this from them. When they got off, big speaker, like the massive one. The one that Stephen Crichton.
The big one where it looks like a suitcase.
Yeah, it looks like a suitcase, you know, and it was pumping that music. And I was like, oh, this was different. And the boys just, they looked happy, you know. And then I was doing the coaches' interviews as well outside of their change room. And I just, when I finished, had a little look inside. Same thing, music was still pumping. The big Fijian smiles, you know, some of them had their shirts off. Wow, I wish I had some of their rigs as well. But they were just all very happy and locked in, like in a joyful way, not like, you know, like,
you're not getting carried away.
You're not getting carried away, but
they're
just
still locked in. But
locked in.
Relaxed environment with the music.
Exactly. And that's how Fijians love to play. When they're happy and not stressed and not treating it like a game, so to speak, it just could tell, oh, something different could be on here.
Especially the way that they've been performing, you'd think that extra pressure and, you know, it just creates that tension. Especially
you don't want to tighten up on it.
Especially in the sheds going into those games. And I think it can have a negative effect, especially with the, you know, with the Drua team.
Yeah, you weren't wrong there, because when they came out to start that game, their bole that they performed before the game, like, again, you just looked like, oh, there's a different energy here, and it just flowed into their performance right from the kickoff, you know. And if we look back at their last game against Moana Pacifica, they had 18 turnovers, they gave away 11 penalties, and they missed 24 tackles. This game, only 11 turnovers, 8 penalties, and 12 missed tackles. So they just that in itself just allowed them to be in the contest. You know, they weren't their own worst enemies. And I guess what helped that stat as well was the fact they didn't force those 50-50 passes. Remember we were speaking about last week, it probably looked like the Drua was almost trying to think pass first rather than win the contact first. And, you know, they limited those 50-50 passes and they didn't put themselves under any unnecessary pressure. And that's why they had a pretty good performance. And some of the big moments in this game, blindside flanker slash winger slash put him anywhere, Etonia Wanga, absolute freak. He made a huge line break, which led to Mesaka Donge's try, and he scored one himself. And the way he scored his try, do they do that in league as well, where you go to the blindside for a bit of a breather? Just, you know, while the play's happening, it's almost like you're walking back. He was trying to get back on side.
Oh, definitely in A grade.
Oh, no, great. Yeah, speaking from experience. Well, in union, sometimes they call that seagulling out on the wings there. Like he was out there trying to find his breath, like working his way back into the phase attack.
Trying to hide
a bit. As he's come back on the blind side, like their halfback Kuravodi just scooted out, and you just see him sort of like get startled. He goes, oh, I'm on. Gets the ball, fends off the winger, and runs 30 metres to score a try in the corner. So he was impressive. Impressive that game, and he's going to be 100% one of the rookies of the year for sure. But then the other big moment was Rampitu's try to win the game. The Reds were actually leading with about 2 minutes to go. They had a line out on halfway after getting a penalty. It's pretty much just win it, play a few phases, and the game was done. The Drua, again, they actually get up and compete at the line out, which is something that they've been doing pretty well. But like in those moments, they stole the ball, couple of phases, they make it down the field. And right as I ride on the try line, flanker for the Reds, Seru Uru, was about to peel for the ball. And he actually won the steal, pops out of his hands, Rambitu scoops it up, goes to the line, and then Thanakai Vata, his teammate, drives him over and they score the match winner. So that was huge in Suva. The crowd wasn't as big as normal, but, man, they were going off. It was loud again, and it was a much-needed win for the Drua. And for the Reds, they are now 0-3 in Fiji. In Suva, actually, they haven't won a game in 3 attempts. So it wasn't a good start for Phil Waugh, who is the CEO of the Wallabies. Rugby Australia after appointing new coach Les Kiss, who's the coach of the Reds, doesn't get off to a fly, and he was over there to watch that game.
How did our good friend Jeff for the Reds go?
Absolutely killed it.
Did he?
Yeah, he killed it.
Jeff Tomanga Allen.
Came off the bench, the old bull. I think he had three turnovers, carried hard, won the contact battles, and I thought he was going to lie on the ground for a bit because it's hot over there. You know, just he was actually one of the fittest out there, so he was impressive. Our mate, my name is Jeff. But for the other game across the Pacific, Adi Savea and the Moanas, that's what we're calling that one. Man, he is impressive, eh, Adi?
I've seen one clip over the weekend where he's just put that grubber in, regathered, scored the try, and then, sorry, I've seen two clips. The other clip was their celebration in the sheds after, and you mentioned the rubbish bins.
Copped a hiding, didn't
they? They copped it, but the cool thing was, though, it's like they knew that there was this water effect because the boys just kept putting water on the bin, and then as it's banging, all this, like, remind me of that movie.
The Drumline?
Not the Drumline, the dance movie. One of the Step Up movies.
Anyway, but it was impressive from Moana. They won in the dying minutes against the Highlanders, 34-29, thanks to Melani Matavau, who, you know, a nice charge down, regathered and scored in the corner to win it for them. And it's the first time they've beaten the Highlanders as well. But what a game it was in terms of, it was a tight contest. It was good footy from both teams. But what I loved about Moana, I think this is why they are equal first with most tries, up there with I believe the Crusaders and the Brumbies maybe, is their variation in attack, their creativity and their willingness to actually attack space. Like, they're not conservative at all, because when there's players on the edge, they'll do a kick pass if it has to. You know, you see Danny Tuala and Lalo Milo, you know, combined together for putting grubbers in behind, and they scored a nice try. And as you mentioned, Adi Savea himself, I just feel like he's playing with a lot more freedom, where he is actually, you know, grubber in behind. He's throwing long balls like on the fly, like we saw his chip and chase last week. And just off the back of that, that's why all the other players are feeding off him, because it's working. It's not boring footy. So they are on a roll at the moment, and that moves them to a sixth spot. So now they're in the top six, and they do have a tough run home, but I think there's a lot of positive signs that they could make the final six come semi-final footy time, and hopefully that they go a bit further in that one. But in the other is with the ladder now, the Chiefs are on top, Crusaders, Brumbies, then the Reds, Hurricanes, and Moana in six. Drua are still in last spot, but if they can jag a couple of wins at home in the next 2 weeks, they could jump up, and you never know what could happen after that. But we'll also go over to the sevens as well in the shortened format. Actually, a new model has been announced for next season. There'll be three divisions, eight in top one, six teams in division two. And Samoa men's were trying to make it into the main seven circuit after spending this year on the Challenger Series. They beat Portugal in the semi-final to make the playoff against Germany, but unfortunately they went down to Germany. So it's unclear where they will be in what division, but you know, they got a couple of wins, but it wasn't meant to be for them to take out that little tournament. And for the women, Fiji, they beat France in their pool game and ended up coming fifth after beating Great Britain in their playoff run. And for the men, it's honestly a tournament to forget for Fiji, losing all three pool games and coming eighth after losing to Great Britain in the playoff. It's honestly their worst result of 2025 for the Fijian men's sevens team. And with Shelley not on, we'll cover a bit of the Wallaroos. They had a historical test match in Fiji. They went up against Fijiana. They won 43-7. And I must say, for Fijiana, like, if this game last year, they lost by 60. So there was an improvement. And I feel like, you know, their first 15 minutes for Fijiana, they were impressive. It was a tight contest. But just as the game got loose and the fatigue kicked in, a lot of holes there for the Wallaroos. And we saw Bessie Balu, their co-captain. She scores a great try. Faitala Moleka, she steered the team around really well. And Tambua Tuinakavandra, who we have coming up on the show, she was outstanding in that game. Couple of line breaks to really get her forwards on the front foot.
This game was straight after the draw.
Yeah, it was a double header.
Fans hang around for it.
They actually did. You know, some left, so it wasn't as full as the men's game, but plenty of the fans hung around. And I tell you right now, player of the match actually goes to the DJ over there. He was pumping some jams over there, and the crowd were on their feet the whole time. So it was a little bit of a stop-start type of game, couple of injuries, but the DJ made sure that everyone stayed on their feet and ready to go, and they were all cheering. I will say as well, Faliki Bohiva, one of the debutantes for the Wallaroos prop, she came off in the 30th minute or just before halftime. She was outstanding. I think once her fitness levels increase at test match level, I think she's going to be a certain starter for the Wallaroos. And they take on now the Black Ferns this week in Newcastle. So that's a big one for them. They've never been in the Black Ferns, so they'll take a lot of confidence out of that game for against the Fijiana.
Great work, Sammy. Is that all rugby union?
I believe so. But yeah, it was a big week for rugby union and rugby league. Doesn't stop, does it, at this time of the year?
Well, it doesn't stop here, where we get straight into our next guest.
Tambua Tuinakavandra.
Hi, my name is Faitala Muleka, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Well, today on Nijan Footy, we are very lucky to be joined by Wallaroo number 200. She was a standout in the Wallaroos' win over Fijiana on the weekend. Born in Orange, New South Wales, but also proudly from Nandrunga Navosa in Fiji. And she joins us right now, Tambua Tuinakavandra. Bula, and welcome to Nijan Footy.
Bula, thank you for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. Our pleasure. How is your body after that test match on the weekend? I saw that first carry you took off the kickoff, and Korovata was there ready for you. So how's the body?
Surprisingly okay. I know some of the other girls are a bit more sore than me. Surprisingly held up okay.
We'll speak more about your Wallaroos experience and playing against the Fijiana later in the show. But I want to rewind all the way back to your upbringing and your upbringing with your family and whereabouts you're from. Can you share a bit about where you're from and your childhood?
Yeah, I grew up in Wagga. Firstly, we did primary school in Wagga and then moved to Orange starting high school, and that's where I really started sort of getting into the sports. Like, I was a netball player growing up. I didn't really start playing rugby until like year 11, year 12. And even then I wasn't old enough to play. So netball was sort of like my main sport growing up. I think growing up, I'm the second youngest, and my brother went to boarding school. So it was just us three girls plus mum and dad. So you can sort of imagine like how loud the house was, plus your dad trying to tell you to stick with netball and not play rugby. Like, that was sort of a funny thing, like making the transition across, like, especially for us three girls. We all moved across to rugby, and dad was sort of like, if you're going to play, you have to play properly. Like, don't waste my time. If you're going to play this game, you've got to do it right. And you're like, yeah, fair enough.
Well, so your brother's playing in Japan with NEC. I've seen him over there. He carves up over in the League One. But when you say you're at Wagon and Orange, New South Wales, like, that's out in the country, like, my old man's from Yeovil, out in New South Wales country. And how did your family get from Fiji to, that part of Australia?
Mum and dad, when they both moved over, they were in Sydney, based in Sydney. And then I think when I was born, they moved down to Wagga, and dad finished off his uni degree down there. So we were in Wagga for, How long was that? 12 years. And then dad picked up a job in the mines in Orange, so then we just moved into the Central West there.
I could imagine there wasn't many Pacific Islanders living in Orange at the time. What was that experience like for yourself, a young Fijian woman living in Orange?
Definitely something that you look back on, you're like, wow, this is why the way I am. Like a mixed bag, like, growing up, especially coming up through high school, like going to a high school where it's like predominantly country kids. I think the only other Pacific Islander in my year was Tongan. And even then, we're both like, this is all we've grown up with, country kids. So the Australian accent was very strong. But you definitely do find your own community out in the country, and you lean on them a lot. You see, got a couple of aunties and uncles around there, so they sort of kept us strong and kept us grounded out there.
It's funny you mentioned the Tongan person there, because I had family as the security guards at the local pub at the Ox in Orange. So yeah, they were the only Tongans we knew back then. And yeah, they let us in when we were a bit young. But anyway, that's a different story. But where, how did you, I guess, with your Fijian culture, being in a New South Wales country and not having, I guess, too much connection with other family members, like, how was that for yourself, you know, to learn about your Fijian side?
Mum and Dad were always really good with us growing up, especially Dad. I mean, when you have, like, girls growing up, sort of a bit different to how you raise them to the boys, I guess. But they were always good in, like, reminding us of where we come from and who we actually come from and who we're going to visit. So we were always somewhere on the weekends. We weren't just in Orange. Like, we'd always make a trip back to Sydney to visit family, or there was some other event that we went to. So it's, you know, we lived rurally. We weren't disconnected through our culture, and Mum and Dad made sure to remind us of who we are every day.
One thing I remember as a kid playing rugby league, all those country kids seem to be like little men.
Yeah, it's and tough as, eh?
Well, like, it must be that farmer's boy strength where they just naturally were strong. Do you think living out in the country and playing rugby, that played a big part in the way that you play the game?
I think coming from the country, it's a lot of commitment if you want to play at another level. Like rep sides, programs that you want to, that you get selected to go to, the distance you have to travel is so far. And then while you're there, you sort of do have to make it worthwhile. Like, this is your only shot, or the next program won't come up again. So you sort of have to give everything you've got, plus sort of stay in it for what it is.
Mm.
So you've brought up some bad memories there when City versus New South Wales country, and some of those, as you said, some of those kids, they were like, mini men. They weren't necessarily big with size, but they just were just mature, and they just kept coming every single time, tough as nails. And for your, when you talked about netball was the avenue that your dad wanted you to have or wanted to play, why was that, like, in his eyes?
Probably because rugby is such a male-dominated sport, especially in the islands. Like, the women, you grow them up to, look after the house, do your chores and stuff like that. And it's, I don't know, like, it was just funny making the transition, because it came out of nowhere. we played touch or played league tag. Like, one day my older sister literally went to play rugby, and Dad was like, okay. But yeah, I think he just didn't want us to get hurt. Like, we're his little girls, like, especially playing such a tough sport, like, they don't want you to get hurt or anything bad to happen to you. So I think that's sort of the underlying reason.
Can you remember any moment where you accepted it and you realised that you made him proud to be a rugby player?
I think it was when I made Brumbies, probably more in that second year, because my first year was sort of like any other rookie coming in, you're sort of just there having fun. But I think in that second year when I was playing Brumbies, he sort of knew that he could stop worrying about me. He knew that I know what I'm doing, so he could sort of stress less.
Oh, you mentioned you had the Brumbies, you've played Super W now. From your pathway, you're transitioning from netball and being in New South Wales country, how did you get identified, and what was your pathway like coming through and realising, actually, oh, I could actually go far with this?
So straight after high school, so 2021, I moved to Canberra for uni. So I didn't really consider playing union down in Canberra until I'd finished playing league. So at the time I was playing Harvey Norman. I was making a trip from Canberra to Sydney playing for Glebe that year. So I thought league was sort of something I could, that was the path I was sort of taking after school. And then I sort of, after the season, I needed a break. The travel just sort of got a lot, and I needed to focus a bit more on uni. And my older sister had just switched clubs to play for Vikings. So I was like, yeah, I'll come play like the rest of the season. I'll have some fun like just playing uni. We played like, I played like maybe three games and then they got called off for COVID. And then when Brums came back around, my my sister's housemate, she sort of asked if we wanted to go to do pre-season for the Brums. And so like November, December, we were training with them. And that's sort of where I got picked up and got the call that I was in that final squad. Yeah, and I just haven't looked back. I've just been playing union ever since.
Did it ever, at any point, did you ever realise that you would, or even thought that you would have made it that far with the amount of caps that you played for the Wallaroos and, you know, representing Rebels and playing Super Rugby? Did you ever think that this would be a possibility?
Like, when I reflect on it, it's kind of funny that I, like, because I never thought I'd be chasing union. I'm, like, so proud of myself that it was an opportunity that came to me and I took it with both hands, because without it, like, I wouldn't have met so many great people and gone through what I've gone through to get the caps that I've earned.
And you should be proud, and I bet your family are very proud of you as well. Now, I've been very respectful to our rugby union guests that we've had on recently, but because you brought it up, now my background's rugby league.
I was waiting for this.
What are your thoughts on the game of rugby league, and is it ever a, have you ever had the thoughts of returning back and playing
NRLW? Just ask it, mate. Just ask it straight. Playing, when are you coming back?
When are you playing NRLW?
I think where both the games are right now, it's getting faster and quicker. Like, there's no doubt about like the requirements of having to play NRLW and having to play Super, like, completely different. But right now, playing league doesn't really, I don't know, like, intrigue my mind as it did coming out of high school. I always had more fun playing union growing up as well. It was just, there's a bit more, I guess, to do. Sorry.
No, I'm glad you put that to bed.
You're probably the first. You're the first one that said that too. That it was more fun to play union.
Please, they'll be nice to you. Be nice, but I'm glad you said it. Yeah, it doesn't really intrigue you. Perfect. Love those words. But let's go to your test debut. It ends up being against Fiji, our Fijiana. You know, for yourself, like, you know, your family, and that's from Nundrunga, and coming up being against Fijiana, being Fijian yourself, you know, what were the emotions like knowing that that was going to be your first test match?
I think it sort of felt not full circle, but it was just like a moment where I could have been this or it could have been that. And Mum and Dad have always been pretty supportive of wherever I am. And they just said, just to go out there and play with your heart and smash any Fijian you can find. Pretty cool to be able to play against Fijians as well as have half the village and all my village supporting me as well.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question. How many tickets did you have to provide for your family and village?
Our manager, Ferg, was like, oh, let me know how many you need and make sure the girls were.
Oh, that's it.
You can't open the book like that.
Exactly. An open question like that. So how many was it?
Mum said to give her 10, but there was more than 10 people at the game, so I don't know where she got the extra tickets.
Well, we've had some guests on before, and they've asked for 150 tickets.
That's the max we've had so far.
That's the max we've had so far. One of the Fijian fellas made his, Josiah Delana made his debut for the GWS Giants, and he asked for 80, or asked for 100, but got 80 tickets for that game. So I think 10, the Wallaroos got off scot-free there. That's easy to get.
Them enough. Okay.
Exactly. You didn't test them enough. When they say how many, it's like, okay, 100. Just start there. You'll be sweet. And the emotions for yourself, obviously the leading, and obviously both anthems are being sung while you're out there. You know, what were the emotions and stuff going through your head when their anthem came on, when the Fijian anthem came on, and also singing the Australian one?
When the Fijian anthem came on, I was looking in the stands to see if Mum and Dad were singing. Because if they were singing, I'd probably join in with them. But it is conflicting, especially because you're wearing the jersey that they're playing against. But I just think it was like a special moment to be able to be there. And I still feel connected to people in the crowd and my people watching, as well as representing where where I'm from or the country that has given me the opportunity to play the game that I love there as well.
Yeah, no, that's special. It's would have been a very heartwarming moment for your parents as well, watching their daughter represent on their motherland, on the motherland, but also the giving back to the country that gave you that opportunity, like you mentioned. Were there any words from your mum and dad after the game?
They didn't speak much after the game. They had lots of family around, but they were really proud, I think, before the game. Oh, my God, I'm going to cry. background for my mum, my grandfather used to play at that ground. So she was obviously pretty sentimental talking to me about the significance of like me playing there as well. And then my mum used to run all her track events and like all her training at that ground as well. So like to be able to connect with her in that way and sort of give her a chance to connect with me physically in a space where her history is so rich. I think I did her proud, and Dad was definitely proud watching up in the stands.
Man, you're making me my eyes water up.
Turn the aircon off now. Someone. Bloody hell. How good. And so for your from your mum's side, and then you know, you had that connection. But what about as well when you think about with yourself and your dad, and you know, he didn't want to see his little girl get hurt at all, but now you're playing one of the roughest sports and making him proud as well. Like, what was his type of words that he had as well for you and connecting with him on that front?
I think he knows that when I go out there, he's also part of my why, and the why that I, in a sense that I will always push to be the best player I can be. And I'm just glad that he's able to let me be the player that I want to be, sort of loosen the reins a little bit in terms of like his sideline coaching. He's able to see the game and see how far we've come just because I'm able to represent on behalf of him.
Oh, that's beautiful. I have to ask about the celebrations after the game. Now, was there any carver involved or the family get together? Was there a lot of food as well?
No carver, but Mum bought all this seafood. One of her friends like owns a cafe, and she brought like fresh food after the game, and we had family time over dinner, and we were just like sharing the containers of all the food and making all the girls try like new things.
But it was actually cool. So like just seeing seeing you at that game, we were doing the commentary, and then obviously watching you make that line break in that moment, just on that field, and you got injured a little bit, but you kept going during the game. You know, could you hear your family in the stands? Could you hear the crowd like cheering for you from where we were? Like, it wasn't that many. Like, it wasn't a packed house, but man, it was loud.
And I don't think I heard them. I sort of had tunnel vision, especially like trying to like walk out to the field to warm up. That's the most tunnel vision I get, because I'm like, if I listen to them, it's just not going to end well.
And with the big, so I'm going to shift over a little bit to upcoming World Cup. What are your thoughts on the World Cup this year and your preparations?
Pretty excited for the World Cup, especially how we've been building as a team. But for me individually, I feel like I've put myself in a good position and worked really hard to be able to be picked for that squad later in the year. It's just a matter of pushing out consistency in what I can do, but very excited to put my hand up for that squad.
Yeah, I was speaking to Sarah Nagama, and she was talking about how your resilience, and there was a bit of a defining moment last year within your performance, because apparently they tried to shift you to prop maybe, but you held your ground and said, no, I'm a number eight. And from that moment, you've really made that number eight jersey your own. Like, how was that that moment, and who helped you, you know, discover that?
And I think when they suggested that to me, I sort of was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll like put my hand up if that's what the team needs. I'll learn tight head. And then a bunch of stuff happened off-field as well, and then the pressure of trying to learn tight head sort of got a bit much. So it was sort of like a lot of factors went into me saying that I couldn't keep up with playing tight head. But Ash Masters, I think she's always been someone that's really supportive in my journey, especially in that transition to tight head. We would joke, but at the same time, her as a mentor, as a back rower, and like all the positions she played, I don't know what she can't play. Having her as a support gives me the confidence in myself that I can back myself in any decision that I do. But yeah, she's probably going to get a big head after this because she's not that much.
Yeah, well, Ash Masters, she's actually one of my favourite players outside of you now, but in the Wallaroos jersey. And if someone that knows about transitioning from different positions and you've made the right choice, no one wants to play in the front row. It's a special it's a special breed that gets to play in there, especially at tight head. Different people play that position. But, you know, with the World Cup coming up, but also knowing where you're from, your family, your village and that, like how proud of you that, you know, during even that week of you being in Fiji, that you're an inspiration for your family members from the village, kids of Fiji, want to inspire to be like yourself.
Yeah, I think it really pushes me to keep doing what I do. I think sometimes I doubt myself and think I'm not in the position where I want to be, but Dad will message me when he's in Fiji and say that the kids in the village, they love that they can see you on TV, and keeps me grounded and makes me feel like I'm definitely on the right track, even though it feels like I'm going nowhere, that I'm doing the right things, and gives me another reason why I do what I love to do. So,
no, I love that, and you definitely are an inspiration. You mentioned earlier about your mum and the connection of you playing on that same ground as her grandfather and where she trained. Do you ever get any opportunities to go back to your villages and, you know, connect with your family and extended family in the villages?
I haven't recently. I think the past few times we've been there was for rugby, and then in the off season, I think we've always just stayed in Australia. There's a lot more extended family in Australia than what I think. So definitely getting a chance to connect with the family that we do have over here is something that we always try to do post rugby. But the chance to go over is something that is coming up soon, I think. My family is planning to go over Christmas, so I think that's a good chance for us to sort of connect with them, give back to the people that love watching me and support me. So, yeah.
So take a big bag of training gifts.
That was my next question. Like, speaking of giving back, and then we spoke about the tickets of 10. How many, like, training shirts and hats and all that did you ask for to be able to pretty much leave your whole suitcase in Fiji for all your family members?
All the Brumby all gave out the kit there. Mum went over Christmas and she took my other Wallaroos bag full of stuff that the girls gave me, plus my old kit. Like, there's stuff always going over there.
And you always have to ask the team manager, hey, look, I need a new training shirt because my dad took it, my mum took it, my cousins took it. Are you always asking her for some new kit?
Yeah, extra shirt somewhere.
One last question from me before we leave. What's your favourite thing about the Fijian culture?
Probably the sense of community. Like, no matter where you go, there's always a Fijian community somewhere that you can find, and those people will help you through whatever it is you need. They'll help you. Whatever it is you're going through, I think wherever I've gone, I've always found Fiji, and it's so good to see a part of home in somewhere else in the world that I can connect to and talk to about where I'm from and sort of get personal with them to keep me humble.
Nice. And this one's going to be a tough question. This one, I need true honesty here. Games on the line. Who would your mum and dad want to get the ball to, your brother Mitieli or yourself, to win the game? Who do you think?
I think they're both going to say my brother Mitieli.
That's the wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. It's you. This is your time to pump up your tyres. Of course they'll want me. You off the back fence scoring the winner.
Too real. They're too honest.
They're all good. Honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. I really enjoyed watching you play live on the weekend and just seeing your family members in the crowd. You played so well. I wish you all the best in your upcoming tests And and much love to yourself, your family, and the rest of your footy career, because I know you're going to kill it, and that number 8 jersey is going to be yours for a very long time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
This is Nijan Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
One of my favorite parts of the show where we play Give Me Three. One of us will be asking the other one a question, and there's points that we tally up throughout the year. I'm on 17, Sam's on 14. The loser has to shout the host and their partners a spa day, the works, at the end of the year.
I always feel like when you introduce the show, introduce this segment, when it's my turn to ask, like there's a little bit of, I guess, hesitancy in your voice compared to when you're asking. It's my favorite bit of the show. Well, here we go.
I'm waiting for you to intro and you don't intro, so I just come straight in and do it.
I'm too busy worried about, are these questions right? But anyway, it is my turn to ask the Give Me Three. And I think, as you said last week, it's getting tougher to come up with a few, trying to think outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, because it's either really, really easy or it's really, really hard. So how do you try and find one?
So this is how I try and find the balance. So this time I'm going to go, give me the answers to these three true or false questions.
What?
From the Wallaroos-Fijiana test match on the weekend. So just basically I'm going to ask three, you just give me your three answers, true or false.
Go on then.
Here we go. He sounds pumped. Okay, true or false. Four of our Nijan stars debuted for the Wallaroos on the weekend.
True.
False. It was three. Martha Fua.
Oh, debut.
Debut.
I thought you, I would have said false.
I'll take the first one. Martha Fua, Catalina Amosa, and Faliki Pohiva. They all debuted for the Wallaroos. So congratulations to those ladies. Okay, next, are you liking my segment so far? Not really.
No, awful.
Awful.
I already knew it was awful.
Oh, come on, mates.
You did not put any preparation in this.
I did. I actually spent a lot of time on this.
Just know if I don't get any points next week, it's just going to get even harder.
I thought you would have got that. Was the easiest one. True or false, Fijiana prop Anna Korovata played her last test match for Fiji.
Did she announce it? So how would you know?
Yeah.
So she announced it.
Well, I'm just asking.
Yeah, but she would have had to announce it if it was a question. So I'll say true.
True. There we go. I just wanted to check if you were checking the socials or come up with something. But I did want to say that it is her last test match because she's going, she decided to retire and head back for family reasons and move back to Canberra. She's a nurse and she's done an amazing job in the Fijiana jersey and the Drua. But that's going to be her last test match. That's why I threw it in there, just to give her
a massive good question. See, questions like that.
Because you got it right as well. perfect. All right, this one's a good one. This one will be a good one for you. Last one, true or false. Alfreda Fischer made history by becoming the youngest ever co-captain for the Wallaroos.
Who?
Alfreda Fischer.
And whereabouts in the Pacific is she from?
Hey?
Alfreda Fischer became the youngest co-captain.
Ever co-captain for the Wallaroos. Because Sio Kopesi-Palo was one of the captains.
The youngest. You'd have to say true. Wait, what was the first answer? False. So I'll go true.
Oh, okay. It's actually false. She became the youngest ever captain for Fijiana. I just knew the name would throw you off. So perfect. Yeah, 20 years of age and she scores. you love that, eh?
That is awful.
They were great questions.
You know you what's coming next week.
Nah, I love it. So there's only 1 point for you. So you're on
18.
18 to me, 14. But that is our time up for today. Tell your footy loving friends about Nijan Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcast or on the ABC Pacific website. And I will see you. Oh, I won't see you on Friday.
You won't see you Friday. We'll have Toops on.
Perfect.
Thank you.
I'll see you next week.
Amen.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.